Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined by Andy Holding to look ahead to day two of the Galway Festival. Decent day's action yesterday. Decent day's action again today. We've also got glorious Goodwood. It's a decent day to be alive, isn't it, Andy?
It is indeed, yes. Hopefully I'll have a better day than I did yesterday at Galway. Absolutely desperate start for me. I fancy quite a few as well. It wasn't if I didn't have a strong opinion. But yeah, several... Well, the horses I backed were notable in their absence, to be fair. My nap was beaten 30 lengths, and I fancied Bobby's Heart, and it finished last of nine. So I could do with a better day today, Alex.
But, you know, we all have those days.
We do.
It's not too bad.
We don't want back-to-back days, do we? That's the case.
No, that is true. That is true. We've got a 7-race card today. It doesn't look the strongest card in terms of quality, and there's quite a lot of runners. So it does look reasonably difficult today, Andy. But it's the kind of card where... You know, the prices will be such that if you have two winners, you're going to earn the day in profit, pretty much.
I'll be happy we won after yesterday. But yeah, you're right. It's always trappy here. And, you know, even Dermot Weld only managed one winner. Mm. And he had a hatful of strongly fancied horses. So, but still quite confident of doing okay. And I've just got to stick to my guns and keep playing away and... Stick to one now, and hopefully it'll come right today.
Okay, well, we'll start with the 505. It is the Topaz Novice Hurdle over 2 miles. Shield is at the head of affairs at the time of recording for Aidan O'Brien and Robbie Power. A horse that always seems to be well backed and is consistent enough, but certainly isn't a superstar, I think is what I'm trying to say here, Andy. But then again, is Shield coming up against anything that is a superstar here?
I don't think he is, Alex, to be perfectly honest. I know what you're saying with him. He has got one or two slight issues along the way. Obviously, he's finished in the frame without winning on more than one occasion. But the key to him appears to be 2 miles and good ground. Every time he's had those conditions, he's been fairly reliable. In fact, he's won his last three starts when those conditions have been in place, including last time out at Killarney at the festival when he went really well in a decent novices hurdle, similar to this in many respects, and he carried that penalty to effect and won with any amount in hand in the end. He beat Mumbo Bay and a decent field, a lot of them of which have been running in good shape over the summer period, and with Aidan O'Brien of course having a winner here at the festival, hope will be high from that camp that this horse can go in again. He's been probably priced up around about the odds I'd imagine. You know, one or two people will look for a bit of value. And if you're a bit of a value seeker, then I suggest you go for the one at the bottom here, Daneforth, who seems to be slightly overpriced for many firms this morning. William Hill having her currently in at 7-1. And I think that's a fairly decent price for a horse who seems to be coming right at the just at the right time. She was really impressive down in Kilbeggan the other day. It was her first run over hurdles, and she skipped round those tight bends with maximum efficiency. She beat a horse called Powderhound, who was rated in the 120s. And she beat him fair and square as well. There didn't seem to be any fluke about that. And Powderhound was sent off a 1-2 favourite to win that race. And like I say, he had every chance, and Daneforth has completely left him behind. So good ground. 2 miles and a strong pace will suit Daneforth. And I think we should get involved and have a little bit on at 7-1.
Okay, so Daneforth a pick there in the 505. Next up is the 535. It is a chase over 2 miles and 6 furlongs, and Domination is likely to be pretty popular with punters here. 13-8 at the time of recording, but Although it isn't the strongest race, certainly Kaylin Anam, who's second in for Jessica Harrington, is a really nice horse, one that I've followed pretty closely this year. She's not had the best of luck at times, certainly travels well. Jumping, for all that she's fallen and been brought down, I think she is a reasonably safe conveyance. I think that's a little betraying. But the 9-2 here, I mean, could be an each-way bet to nothing. Which way do you look at it, Andy?
Yeah, I think that's a fair shout if you wanted to get involved with Kaylin Anam each way. I certainly couldn't put you off. I think she would have finished fourth the other day in that race down at Killarney. It was the race that was won by Elite Chinois. Of course, Domination finished second, but Domination was definitely jumping into second at the point where Kaylin Anam was brought down by Willie Mullins, who's second string in that race. She seemed to be fading at the time. So whether she can turn the form around or technically turn the form around with Domination is certainly up to debate. I think Charles Burns' charge is definitely the one to beat here. He won't mind the ground, just on the easy side of good. He seems to jump well as well. The blinkers are on for the first time, so that might just sharpen him up a little bit. And of course, he's been in good form as well on the flat. You know, he won a big handicap at Royal Ascot, of course, and went on to finish a good and creditable second at Sandown on his next start. So, you know, he's got all the right ammunition to take a race like this. He's been well found in the market, and I think he probably will win this race. But if you're looking for one just to muck around with at a big price, I like to always throw a decent price one at the podcasters, and that's Muirhead. I know he's 11-year-old, he's getting a bit long in the fang, but he still maintains plenty of his old ability, and that ability saw him finish fourth in last year's Galway Plate, of course. You know, and that's his very, very good form. In fact, his form figures here are 3, 1, 4, 6. He's actually only been out the first four on one occasion. That was when he was 6 in the 2012 version of the Galway Plate. So Ballybrit seems to spark the 11-year-old into life. He run well last time out in the Midlands National down in Kilbeggan behind Cam Hill in a strongly run handicap. He stays well, he jumps well, he knows his way around here. And he's currently available to back around about 12-1, 14-1 this morning. So I think Muirhead, like I say, if you're looking for one at a bigger price that's bound to get round and run well, he fits the bill.
Okay, you're ahead in the 5.35 then. Next up is the 6.05, a filly's maiden over 7 furlongs. Not a whole lot of form to go off here, Andy, and the form that we do have doesn't look especially strong. Chinese Light and Together Forever are two newcomers, one for Dermot Weld, one for Aidan O'Brien, and they're the only two that the market are really focusing on this morning, 6-4 and 15-8 respectively at the time of recording. Obviously both unraced, but would you make it between these two?
It's difficult for me to be overly dogmatic about a race like this because, you know, it's fairly obvious that, you know, the market's going to centre around Dermot Weld and Aidan O'Brien as it did last night in the maiden for Colts, which was, of course, won by Aidan O'Brien in the shape of Jamaica, and Postulation from the Weld stable chased him home in second. It might well be that these two fillies follow suit. Certainly Dermot Weld's horse would be command plenty of respect and a lot of interest here, being a filly by Dalakana, beautifully bred from a bloodline that Dermot Weld knows really well. And of course she's drawn in stall one as well, which of course if she breaks well can be taken massive advantage of, whereas main market rival is drawn in stall 11, so a slow beginning from Together Forever might prove her undoing. The one with form, of course, is Cocoon, who comes here following a disappointing run the other day in a Group 3 at Leopardstown when she was a bit disappointing. I mean, she'd run well on debut. I mean, she went backwards off that run. That was a really good run behind Words and an eye-catching run as well at the Curry in a race, which is working out really well. So I suppose she could be the each-way bet to nothing here around about the 7-1 mark. But I'll go with Dermot Weld's filly. Hopefully she can break cleanly, hold a position from inside that inside stall, and that might well be good enough.
OK, next up is the 6.40. It is a handicap over a mile and a half, and it is ridiculously open. Andy, 6-1 the field at the time of recording. Defining Year has been really well backed from sixes, from tens. But the outside of the field is only 20-1. It is very open. You can give a chance to any of them. How sharp is your pin here, Andy?
Yes, I certainly agree with those sentiments. It doesn't look a race for the faint-hearted anyway. Trouble in running, luck in running is going to be key, and you're looking for a horse perhaps who's going to break clean and get into a good position from a low draw. I think that those that are stuck out on the wing, sort of 10 and above, are going to be very much inconvenienced by the way this race is likely to develop. certainly think Divine in Year has got to be high up on most punters shortlists here. Trained by Dermot Weld, has run this race several years in the last decade. He looks as though he's just coming to fever pitch following several eye-catching and tender rides that he's had on the build-up to this race. And, of course, he's got the visor on for the first time, a ploy that Dermot Weld often uses with several of his inmates coming here to Ballybrit. But, you know, he has been well found in the market. A couple at much bigger price. I think Kevin Prendergast has got a really strong line in this race as well this year. He's got a horse who's not only a very consistent animal, but won this race 2 years ago in the shape of Vastanea. This grey gelding by Verglas was also third at 2 years prior to that when... it was third last year when behind Brendan Bracken from a bad draw. So on the two visits to Ballybrit, Vastanea has finished first and third in this race. So even though he's drawn in stall 10, I still think he's capable of running really well, and he's been chalked up around about the 14-16-1 mark this morning with William Hill. That doesn't look a bad each-way option. And the other one, of course, is Mascoon, the three-year-old in the race. There's 2 3-year-olds, and he's one of them. He's only had 6 starts in his career, but he's performed to a decent level on more than one occasion. And he had his teeth cut in a very hot handicap at the Curragh the other day, in which he finished third. So that hard-knocking contest has bound to put him in a good frame of mind for this race. He's got a nice low draw. He likes to take a prominent position early. He has actually made all in one of his victories before. So I do think Mascoon as well at 10-1 is also worthy of respect. So in summary, I think Defining Year may turn out to be the one to beat, but I'm going to go with the two Kevin Prendergast horses and back them both each way. Hopefully one of them will be in the first four at the very least. Mascoon and Vastanea.
Okay, two Kevin Prendergast horses against the field there in the 6:40. Next up is the 7:10 handicap over 2 miles. Once again, plenty of runners going to post, Andy, but this one looks slightly, I won't say easier, but at least we've got 5-1 joint favourites and then a 66-1 outsider. So perhaps you couldn't give a chance to everything in this one. 2 miles the trip, Hidden Universe and Take Your Cap Off are joint favourites at 5-1 at the time of recording. Where should we start with this one, Andy?
Well, I've certainly put the kibosh on my nap last night at Galway, which didn't run up to scratch. So hopefully I don't do exactly the same to my strongest bet here tonight at Galway, and that comes in the shape of Take Your Cap Off, trained by Gordon Elliott. She's been in really good form of late. Now she's gone with Gordon. Of course, she used to be trained by Jessica Harrington, but Gordon Elliott's really turned this horse inside out. Two very, very smooth wins in the summer jumping campaign. Was cemented with a good run and an eye-catching run down in Belliestown the other day in a mile 6 handicap won by Lindenhurst. But it's quite clear to me that from an early position, Take Your Cap Off was never ever going to win that race, because he was dropped right out the back door in the hands of Robbie Downey, obviously under instructions not to give the horse too much of a hard race with Galway round the corner. But this horse absolutely took off in the latter stages to finish third. How it managed to finish in that position, I have no idea. And it just shows you the kind of form that this horse is in, to take such a lofty position considering where he was turning into the home straight. And everything looks set fair for a really good run off the back of that. Plenty of it, positives in his direction, in her direction. She was third in this race 2 years ago behind the very well-handicapped Dermot Weld horse for Lourdes de Curls. She's got a good draw in stall one. And connections have obviously gone out their way to book the best available jockey. And of course, Joseph O'Brien steps up to the plate here. So, combination of having run well in this race before, in good form on the flat and over hurdles, and with Joseph O'Brien booked, all lead to a positive show for Take Your Cap Off tonight. 5-1 with William Hill. Looks a fair enough each way bet and gets the nap vote.
Okay. Penultimate race on the card is a 7:45. It's a handicap over 7 furlongs. Another race that does have an open look to it. But at least with these ones, Andy, we know them all pretty well, that they've not got much to hide, have they, really?
No, they haven't, no. Again, looking running is going to be the key here. You know, it's all right fancying something, but if he gets a bad draw, bad early position, then, you know, that can put the fork into your selection's chance. I'm just hoping that our jock doesn't get this kind of run-through that he got down in the Curragh the other day, which it was littered with bad fortune, that run behind High Emperor on the 19th of July, when he was trying to go for several ambitious runs in the home straight, and he couldn't see any day night for love nor money. Declan McDonough literally went for several gaps that were closed on him quite quickly. And in the end, he ended up finishing ninth, but it certainly doesn't tell the whole tale. He actually finished on the bridle, hard on the bridle, in behind the pace setters. And, of course, he only got beat two lengths as well. Just shows you the sort of close proximity of the leading protagonists on that occasion. Prior to that run, he was second at Leopardstown in a similar race to this, and he'd won his two previous starts at Tipperary and Nace, showing that he was a horse in really good form. Declan McDonough really gets on well with this horse, and given that he's got a really good kick finish on him, hopefully our jockey, if he can get himself in some sort of shape and close to the pace turning for home, his strong finish is likely to carry him forward into the business end of this race. He's priced at 7-1 this morning, and again, I just think that's a nice enough each way value pick in a race which is probably not worth going massively overboard with. So our jockey each way in the 7:45.
Okay. The final race is the 8:15. It is a maiden over 7 furlongs, and we've got a very, very warm favourite here, Andy. Important non-runner in this race is Right Way for John Ox. That one does not go to post, and that leaves Antique Platinum with, well, the odds would suggest a penalty kick. We've still got the 8 runners in the race. Would you be siding with the Weld horse at such a short price, or would you be looking for a maggot each way here?
Yeah, I won't be siding with anything in this race. I'm just going to let Dermot Wells filly take the final prize and give Dermot another win. I think that's all we can do here. Antique Platinum certainly fits all the credentials you're looking for a race like this. A classy-looking filly in a modest race who warmed up nicely for this contest with an eye-catching run first time out and a very hot maiden down in Nace behind Hazara Bar. But we've seen several horses come out of that race in Frank the Fall, including the third Sea Coast, and also the horse that was in the ruck that day, Some Spirit, from the Jer Lyon stable, was absolutely bolted up by 6 lengths. Subsequently, at Leopardstown, so Antique Platinum's run, an eye-catching run as well, into fourth, not getting knocked about, has been certainly endorsed on more than one occasion. Good draw, DK Weld in a maiden at Galway. He didn't look any further, but obviously odds 2-9 are not going to be for everyone. So, you know, you are looking for an each-way alternative. The obvious one is Henson, but you know, he is only a 3-1, 7-2 chance, and he looks fairly limited. So I'm afraid the last race is a bit of a damp squib affair, but Antique Platinum, maybe if you put him in some doubles and trebles throughout the afternoon, might get a few quid rolling on the obvious winner of the last.
Yeah, it's a shame that the Ox horse is out of that, isn't it? Because it would have certainly provided some, well, you'd have got a slightly better price anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it would have given some competition as well, but I'm afraid, most of the sort of main sort of yards have been scared off by this world runner.
Yeah. Okay. So Antique Platinum, very, very hard to look past indeed there. In the final race at Gore, that's the 8:15. Great stuff, Andy. Best of luck with those picks today. Have a great time at Goodwood. I know that you're there. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Cheers, buddy. Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.